Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, our tour to Israel is in March. It seems like a long time from now, doesn't it? But guess what? We're almost full. We've never had a response like this before. We're going to take somewhere between 90 and 100 people, and we'll have two buses and two local tour guides in the Holy Land to take us around, and I'll be there with my wife Allison to serve as host. So we're going to have a great time with brothers and sisters from around the country. I think we even got a couple of Canadians going with us. So, but we're like 80 to 90% of our seats are sold out. So
I think someone needs to report on this.
Report on this?
On the trip.
From the scenes.
You want to go. Steve?
I wouldn't mind.
Steve wants to go on the trip, and he wants to be the reporter.
Live daily updates.
So we're going in March. It's March 8th through the 16th. And we would love to have you join us. If you want to sign up for some of the few remaining seats we have, here's how you can find out more information about this trip to Israel. It's at the website twholyland.com. Go to the website twholyland.com. Everything is there. You're the kind of person you want a brochure sent to your mailbox so you can read it on your patio or in your den. Read it that way, then just call us and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send the brochure to you in the mail today. Call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send the brochure to you in the mail. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker, again.
Good morning.
What are we doing on Facebook, Walker?
Well, I've posted several news articles from One News Now about the various topics we've spoken about, and I also posted the Truth Conference 2017 link. That is the conference that Alex McFarland and our own Abe Hamilton will be speaking at in Louisiana.
And Dr. Frank Turek and Tony Perkins.
That's right.
And where you put that on our Facebook page?
Yes.
That's in Baton Rouge this weekend?
Yeah, just outside Baton Rouge in Greenwell Springs.
Okay. So that's if you live in the Baton Rouge area or you want to drive to Baton Rouge this weekend and attend this conference, so Walker's posted all the link to the information on our Today's Issues Facebook page. But Abe Hamilton's going to be there, Alex McFarland, Frank Turek, Tony Perkins, somebody else I think is going to be there. That's going to be a dynamite conference, so you don't want to miss that if you're around the area. Steve George, but Ray is with us, Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Ray, good morning again.
Good morning, Tim.
And Steve Jordahl is taking the place of Fred Jackson. That's not easy to do.
No, you can't replace him. You just follow him.
Big shoes to fill.
That's right.
All right. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Walker. Good
What's morning. In the news, Steve?
There's a couple things I'd like to kind of clean up that we've been talking about. I have a couple things people have said that I wanted to play for you. And the first, I know you spent a little bit of time last hour talking about the cleanup from Irma and Harvey that is still ongoing. A lot of people have been asking where God is in this. And how could a good God do this to people and everything? And there's been this debate going on. Kirk Cameron, whom some may remember
friend
from
of mine.
Growing Pains, and yep. is now a good evangelist.
You want to text Christian. Him right now? Because I got his cell phone number.
Yeah, let's get him on.
I'm pretty important if I can text Kirk Cameron, don't you think,
I know.
Steve?
I know. You.
Do you have his number?
I don't.
Walker?
A lot of
I certainly don't.
Ray, you don't?
No, I don't. I'm really not. Important if you've got his number.
I'm thinking
super
a lot.
Important if he texts you back, right?
I'm thinking a lot of 40-year-old women who were like teenagers when he was on Growing Pains.
Who want his number? Ray's married. Sorry, with like 17 kids or something. I don't know. that ship has sailed. Oh man.
Anyway, he was commenting on this. I thought what he had to say was really good. He is in the Orlando airport as he speaks. He was in the Orlando airport when he recorded this. So there's a little bit of background noise, but it's pretty clear. This is what he had to say.
How should we look at two giant hurricanes coming back to back like this? Should we just do we write them off as coincidence? Do we write it off as a statistical anomaly? Wow, who would have thought? Is it just Mother Nature in a bad mood? I don't know how you think about it, but I think it could be something much more than all of that. I'm going to look in here in God's Word and read to you from Job. In Job 37, God says through Job, He saturates clouds with moisture. He scatters His lightning through them. They swirl about, turning around and around at His direction, accomplishing everything that He commands them over the surface of the inhabited world. He causes this to happen for punishment or to water His land and demonstrate His faithful love. This is a spectacular display of God's immense power. And when He puts His power on display, it's never without reason. There's a purpose. And we may not always understand what that purpose is, but we know it's not random. There's not a random molecule in the universe, I believe, but that God is the Lord of the wind and the waves. And what this should be doing for all of us is causing us to remember that it's God who supplies our life, breath, and everything else so that you and I would reach out to Him.
So as Hurricane, as Houston particularly is recovering from Hurricane Harvey, there are a lot of Christian relief workers down there. We got 8 Days of Hope, of course, that we have been helping out, and others. And they are presenting help in God's name. So as a warning, perhaps, to people that they need to fear a strong and powerful God, and then God sends His servants there to show lovingly how they can have a relationship with that God. That might be how it works.
Yeah.
Ray?
I think what Kirk Cameron said is 100%, maybe 1,000% true, right? It's completely right when he quoted from the book of Job, that these things happen. And in fact, Tim, this goes back to our discussion with Frank Turk about Romans 1, that certain things have been revealed that everybody can see. Meaning, you know, you may not go to church, you may not go to synagogue, you may not have any religion, you may live out in the forest somewhere and be Stone Age, but you can understand there is a mighty force in the universe that controls the sun, the wind, the waves, the movements of the planets, and that when we see things like hurricanes, and in, you know, a few weeks ago we were all talking about the eclipse. Now that was a happy time. All right, all these things are meant for us to look to the God who made us. And if you tie it back into Romans 1, when you ignore the truth that God has revealed about Himself, things can never get better. They only get worse. It's a reminder that we are all accountable to an almighty, all-powerful God.
Yep.
Bless you.
Pardon me. Barker's saying bless you to me. I had to sneeze there, but you didn't hear it because I have a sneeze button right here, a cough button here on American Family Radio. Yeah,
you're only supposed to use that when you cough, not sneeze.
Oh, is there a different button for sneezing?
There must be.
What's the red button for? Anybody know?
We
got a red, white, and a yellow. So the yellow button is...
That's the eject button.
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to hit that. Wow. I don't know where I'll go flying off to.
No.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Well, last Sunday was the first Sunday of the NFL season, and the Oakland Raiders prevailed. I think we can move on from
your
that.
Team?
My team. but no... We're still talking. People still talking a little bit about the protests that were on the sideline from the players who kneeled down in protest and those who didn't. Tommy Lahren, who's a Fox News contributor now, had something. Well, she kind of cleared her mind about these people. This is what she had to say.
Why do you sit? Oppression? What about taking a knee to protest the shootings and gang violence in Chicago? the violence that has run the death toll up to nearly 500 so far this year. You know, that gang violence and inner city crime our police officers have to respond to day in and day out. The violence they put their lives on the line to prevent, and the time they spend in those communities to protect and defend the innocent men, women, and children caught in the crossfire. Do you sit for that? Or is the oppression you speak of as selective as your outrage? We aren't a perfect nation, but I challenge you to find a better one. And if you do, please relocate and let me know if that country pays you millions to throw a ball. You sit because you don't seem to understand what that flag and that anthem mean to the rest of us. But thanks to those brave service members I mentioned, you have the right to sit like a spoiled brat. But I also have the right to call you on it, because it's not a social justice action. It's a misguided tantrum, and it does nothing to bring us together.
Would she tell us what she really thought?
Well, I agree with her on this. And by the way, I was watching the beginning of the opening ceremonies last night of the
Broncos Chargers,
Denver Broncos, and the San Diego Chargers in Denver. And I didn't see any of the players kneeling. Now I don't. There maybe there were, but they didn't show them on NBC. And they had a beautiful flag that covered the field, and the first responders were out there holding the flag. And so, you know, I didn't see any protest last night. Again, that doesn't mean it didn't happen, but they didn't show it on NBC. Mm-hmm. The thing of this is with these players who are kneeling, and it's a tiny minority of the actual players. So you get one out of 50, I think 50, 45 or 50 are on a team in the NFL. You get one do it, and you know, that's one out of, you know, that's a very tiny percentage is what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not significant, but I'm just saying if you want to take a knee as a player in a football game, an NFL football game, during the national anthem, because, you know what? You can find a reason every week to do that. The problems that you cite as a player for sitting or taking a knee during the national anthem are going to be there next week, next month, next year, and 50 years from now, okay, if you want to cite something. Because you can always say, well,
injustice.
This teenager was shot in New Orleans last week. I'm taking a knee. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can always find an injustice. So I don't buy that they're – they may have sincere thoughts in their minds for doing this, but Ray, you can do this. The Dallas Cowboys, they don't kneel, do they? I didn't see any of them kneeling.
Oh, no. And Jerry Jones has sent the message out. if you want to play for the Cowboys, you're going to stand and show respect.
For the national anthem. What you do on your own time is your own business.
That's exactly
I don't have a problem
right.
with that. Somebody that's wants right. to be. But to make this is when you're in a uniform for the NFL, for Dallas Cowboys, for example. You're an employee of Jerry Jones. He writes your check. He can tell you to stand up during the national anthem if he wants to. Am I right?
Well, and that's exactly what he's done. And here in Dallas, they understand.
Right.
I mean, they know. They know Jerry Jones means business, right? I mean, he is a billionaire. And
right.
So he'll cut you. So nobody wants to put him to the test. I wish all the other owners would say the same thing. You want to work here. You want to get a paycheck. Then you stand and show respect. And, Tim, as you said, tell them on your own time, do whatever you want.
Sure.
What I'm more disappointed at is not the players. You're going to have folks, bad actors, who choose to do stuff that we disagree with. That's going to happen all the time, just like there's going to be injustices that happen all the time. What I'm more disappointed at is that the NFL is complicit, and they're allowing the players to they're allowing their employees to disrespect the flag. And they're so afraid of telling them to stand up during the national anthem. Since when has that become controversial to have your employees show respect during the national anthem?
Right.
That should be a non-controversial topic. Everybody should agree on that.
Right. And, you know, like I said here, so you're taking a knee. In Denver last night, we had probably, I saw 80,000, 90,000 fans. They're all standing with their hands over their hearts. And the announcer comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, stand for the national anthem and take your hats off, and we're going to sing the national anthem. And probably 100% of the people, 99% of the people did it.
I don't know what the percentage of the Los Angeles Chargers or the Denver Broncos are that feel like they want to side with Black Lives Matter or take a knee, but I would suspect that on 9/11 that would have been a you think the Colin Kaepernick
did Marshawn Lynch do it?
He did it on 9/10.
Sunday.
He's a running back for the
Oakland Raiders.
For the Raiders, who was with the Seahawks.
I know.
But I would ask these guys who are it's such a minority of them that you just go, I would just say, so you're going to take a knee today and next week and the week after that. When will you get up again? Well, I'll stand up when there's no injustice. Okay, well, what year is that going to be? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You'll be done playing by then.
And Colin Kaepernick got caught exactly in that trap last year because he made this big statement. But once you start kneeling, Tim,
right?
You know, when are you going to stand up? And it doesn't help that he's not as great a quarterback as people thought he was 3 or 4 years ago. So teams look at a guy like that and they go, look, he's marginal to us in the quarterback department. He's bringing a lot of unnecessary publicity, so he's not in the league this year. And people say that's discrimination, but I don't think it's as much discrimination as the fact that these owners, most of them, they want to win a Super Bowl, and they don't want all the distractions on the side.
I wonder how much money these guys who are sitting during the national anthem are sending to Texas for Hurricane Harvey relief, or down to Florida for Irma relief, or why don't they send money to Chicago to help with all the gang violence?
I don't know about Chicago, but they may be. There's a lot of NFL players who are sending money to starting with J.J. Watts to Houston that could have donated. That's a broad
That we all know there are very few things that unite us in this country completely, and respect for the flag and the national anthem have always been things that bring us together and unite us, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. And I'm just as we say, I don't have any problem at all, as vehemently as I may disagree with somebody's political position on something, if they want to do something on their own time and their own dime, that is fine with me. Colin Kaepernick wants to go out and have a press conference, you know, about something on his own. That's fine. But I'm just saying, when you bring it into the NFL, to the football arena, and you're an employee of that team and in the NFL, then you got to be conscious of the ramifications.
Well, you know, they used to say, they still say about these actors and actresses who want to speak out, you know, shut up and sing, right?
Right.
Well, fine. Play ball.
Exactly. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, Steve's got some more happy news for
you. Oh, yes.
Bring it, Steve. Lay it on us.
Well, for the first time as of Monday, I believe the national debt has passed $20 trillion. That's 20.
I'm taking a knee.
With 12
I am
zeros.
Taking a knee in the studio.
You're never going to get up again.
I'm just taking a knee in the studio, and I don't think I'm getting up till that national debt goes down.
That's an injustice right there.
You think I'm ever going to be getting back up?
Never soon. Get back up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot. 12 zeros after that 20. That is just, golly.
Yeah. $20 trillion. No, if anybody in this listening audience, including the four people in this panel, it say that they understand how much money that is, you're liars. We're all lying because nobody has a clue. How many zeros is that, Steve?
12.
$20 trillion is 12 zeros?
20 followed by 12 zeros.
Okay. I don't know. Whatever I say and whatever we say is just our opinion here, right? On this,
right.
We're not financial experts. We're not Dan Celia.
What you're about to say is your gut reaction.
This is my gut reaction. Please don't email me or post on Facebook that you're an ignoramus. You don't know how this works, because I readily admit I may be an ignoramus. So on this, if I am, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to tell you what I think. Can I do that on this?
That's
one?
Why people tune in. They want to know what
you think.
Can I
put that caveat on this? I don't think debt matters anymore.
You think we're immune to the consequences of debt?
I think we're immune. Let me tell you what I mean by that, because I was all freaked out and worried about this when it was at $10 trillion and 13, 12. You know, I was like going, oh, my word. Everybody was going, we're going to. And you see these ads on the news saying we're headed toward financial Armageddon. Well, that never happened. Yeah, we had 2008, but you're going to have something like that happen every 20 years or so like that. But if you can get to $20 trillion and it doesn't cause any problem for you economically, I don't know what can.
Right.
So I think as long as the United States has the printing presses and has the world's reserve currency, then you may can borrow as much money as you want to into an
infinity
without a limit.
Well, that's what it's like a frog in a kettle. It kind of sneaks up on you.
So you're an expert?
Well, I do know.
This is Steve's opinion.
Because you're about to say something.
Here we go.
To correct what I just said, because I hear it coming, but I just want to know what your credentials are.
I am a reporter who reads.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Interest rates are higher now because we're paying so much interest on the national debt every year.
What are they?
What are the interest rates?
Yeah.
Higher than they were before.
Good answer, Steve.
Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
It kind of sneaks up. That life becomes more and more hard. We are saddling someone at some point is going to have to pay this due. How much is a trillion? If you measured it in seconds and the clock started at a trillion and counted down to right now, you would start counting at 30,000 BC.
And we're still here.
If you measured the height in $1,000 bills, it would be a stack 63 miles high.
I'm a mixed bag on this situation. I am cynical to the extent that every day we need to quit doing the headlines that the world's ending because of our debt, because they've been doing that for 10 years. But at some point, gravity has to take effect in a financial sense. What you can't keep printing, you can't keep the printing press on all the time without your dollar being devalued.
No, that's what happens. If you live to be 80 years old and you wanted to save $1 trillion, you'd have to put away $34 million a day for 80 years.
Ray, what do you think?
I missed that yesterday.
Who's crazy here, Ray? What do you think about all this? And again, we are not experts, so please don't say you don't know what you're talking about, because we readily admit that we may not. But go ahead, Ray.
Tim, we were having these kind of conversations on today's issues back a few years ago when it was $10 billion, right, or $10
trillion. Right.
And we were going, we can't let it get to 15.
Right.
Now it's at 20. So, you know, mentally, I'm with you, Walker. There's got to be a tipping point. But where is it?
We don't know.
Could we go to 25? Right. Could we go to 30? Could you go to $50 trillion and everything? I mean,
I think so. I think
How about this? How about this? How about we'll invite Dan Celia on?
Right.
He knows more about this.
We can invite Dan on. That would be interesting to know what he has to say about this. But I would just say that, federal money in Washington is like monopoly money. It really is.
It's not real money.
It's not. President Trump wanted $7 trillion for relief for Harvey victims or to rebuild.
$7 billion.
He wanted $7 billion. Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan doubled him. Said, no, we're going to send $15 billion down there.
Billion.
What I'm saying is, you telling me there's $100 million earmarked for a specific project on a bridge in Beaumont already? You think they budgeted that money out?
No.
They just pass a big bill and say, we love you guys, and they throw money.
The American way.
I have to say is I want to talk to you on April 16th after you paid your taxes to see if it's still monopoly money.
Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, you mean we still have to pay our taxes?
Yeah. To us, you're good point, Steve. You are an expert right there. But to the average person out there, it's very real.
Oh, yeah.
It's painful. But I'm just saying the federal government and people respond. It's everybody, as I always say. It's federal government. It's everybody's money and nobody's money. That's why it can flow so freely. Well, more happy news tomorrow or on Wednesday. We'll see you back here then. Have a great day, everybody.